Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
You know, a few episodes ago, I talked about separation, and the reason that separation often comes in is because somebody is trying to create some space. So today I want to talk about why space is so hard on people. Now, one of the things that I'm very clear about is probably 90 to 95% of the people that come into the Fortified Spouse program are one type of person. They have become the pursuer, at least at this moment in time, right? And the reason they're pursuing is because their spouse has become the distancer. So the pursuer is trying to close the distance, and the distancer is trying to create the distance or space. So why is it that it's so hard to allow for that space? Separation of any kind really is a major enforcement of space. So I've talked about many times, there's a certain pattern that tends to happen. Somebody says, I am not happy. So generally the person, when they say that I am not happy, they've pulled away a bit, or maybe a lot. The person who feels the pull away, the pursuer at this moment, tries to close the distance, only to have the person then say, you know what? I need more space now. At that point, it's probably only about emotional space. I just need a little space to get my head around this and my heart around this. And then the pursuer really gets panicked, they get anxious, they get scared, and they pull up even closer, not knowing what they're doing and why they're doing that. And the other person says, you know what? I need to separate. Now, physical separation is a way of enforcing emotional space when you can't get it. So one of the things we have to understand is that whenever somebody separates, it's generally because they have a need to create a major enforcement of space. It's no longer enough to say, hey, I'm feeling crowded in this. I need to be able to clear my thoughts. It's no longer enough to say, you know what? I'm not really happy. I've got to figure this out. Now it's saying, I need some distance from us. So emotional or psychological space is the place where somebody needs to not feel pressured so that they can figure out what they're thinking about the relationship. That's one layer of this space thing. The next layer is physical space. It's an attempt to get away from the person who can't quite give them the psychological or emotional space they need, at least the amount that they think that they need. You see, they're interlinked, but there is a major step up when somebody says, we need to separate. There is a level of acuity that enters into the relationship that wasn't there before. So part of what we're talking about now is a continuum from emotional space to physical space, all the way to termination of the relationship. It starts out with the stirrings of, I'm not happy with us together. Now, it would seem that the beginning point of, I'm not happy with us together, it's so let's get close again. Let's reconnect. But for the person who's been trying and trying to figure out a way back in, it feels a little bit different. I'm not happy and I've tried is generally what I hear from people. So understand that. Unfortunately, the I'm not happy speech usually comes only after the person has struggled to figure out a way around that unhappiness on their own without including both people, without including you in this case. And so you're unaware of that unhappiness until they have already decided that they need some, you know, some sort of change, some switch. Now, here's the problem with this. We humans, as I've said before, are wired for connection. It's in our DNA. We need closeness and connection to feel safe. You know, earlier today, my wife and I ventured out to the zoo, our local zoo, and we were looking at the animals, and we came up on the meerkat display. Now, meerkats are from Africa. We were on a rainy 50-degree day, and the meerkats were bunched up on top of each other, trying to stay warm and connected. That's how they felt safe as we wandered through. And that was pretty much true with all the animals that we encountered, right? They gather together to be close to each other because that's what mammals need. More so for humans who have not just the need, the mammalian need, but also the mind, the need to connection at the mind, at the emotional level. They need to be able to share things with people. And my guess is none of those meerkats were thinking and talking each other about, hey, you remember last week when, you know, it was even colder than this when we had that polar vortex coming in through? Boy, that was really cold. That isn't so bad, but I hope it warms up tomorrow. They probably were not having that type of conversation, but humans do that, right? Nor were the meerkats saying, boy, it's been a rough day at the office. And the other people say, oh, tell me all about it because I really love to hear about your day. But humans need that emotional connection, that need to share. So part of what we have is we share with lots of other creatures. But then there's the uniqueness of humans, of being able to share that verbally. And the problem is it's so deeply wired within us that when there is a rupture of that connection, it actually activates the same pain centers in your brain that happen when you injure yourself physically. An emotional injury triggers the same places as a physical injury in your brain. This is part of why that space thing, right? The need for space is so difficult when you're not prepared for it. When you're not asking for it, it's being thrust upon you. The thing is that we all are wired to actively try to avoid and alleviate pain. That's part of human nature. In fact, when people try to be in pain, try to force themselves to be in that pain, that's because of a psychological issue that they're trying to cover up because of another issue that we're trying to avoid the pain from. Now, here's the thing. When people are trying to inflict pain upon themselves, it's usually, again, because they want to cover up other pain in their life. So even they are trying to find a way of avoiding one pain by trading it for another. Now, most of us, though, just simply don't want to be in pain. And that's why the space thing is so difficult. If it creates a place in your brain that feels like a psychological wounding, you're trying to fix that. You're trying to find a way around that because you don't want to be in pain. You don't want to be wounded. And we all do that every day in life. When something is hurting us, what do? We try to find a solution to it that leaves us in less pain. So psychologically, it's very difficult for somebody we're so close to want to have distance. So if you remember, I've talked about the fact that in marriage, we make a psychological shift. Let me say that more accurately. There is a psychological shift that we need to make for marriage to be successful. And the promise of marriage somehow half shifts us there. It gets us halfway away when we say to somebody, no matter what life throws our way, no matter whether we're having a good day or bad day, rich days, poor days, healthy days, sick days, whatever those days are. And by the way, once you talk about those days, really what days are left? Good days or bad days? I mean, you've eliminated anything else. Sick days, healthy days. You've eliminated really any days, rich days, poor days. There are no days left. And so we've promised basically no matter what happens in our life, you and I, we're a team. I'm on your side. So we've created a bond psychologically and we create a bond physically. And then somebody says, you know what? It's too close. It's too much. I need some space. And when they pull away, that bond feels stretched. and stressed and fractured. And so it creates a painful response in us. So when one person is rejecting the connection, it creates a desperation in the other person for that connection. That's why I need space is so hard for people to manage. It's triggering all kinds of fear responses in their brain, in their psyche, even in their body, how it feels like such a pain. And so that creates this pursuer-distancer cycle. When the pursuer-distancer cycle starts to emerge, what's the distance? Well, in relationships, whoever needs less from a relationship holds the power of that relationship. They're in a bargaining position because the other person needs something more. I mean, it's basically the same as in any point of negotiation. Whoever has the upper hand gets to set the standards for that negotiation. If I own everything and you're trying to negotiate to get some of that, I have the upper hand because I have everything. You're trying to get some, and see, there's the problem. When you're trying to get something from me, I'm having to give something up. And so what you're asking the distancer to give up is some of that emotional space that they're trying to hold on to and to hoard. They're trying to pull away and hold on to that. And you're wanting some of that back. And so you can see the struggle that begins to emerge from that and why it gets to be so difficult. So the distancer having the advantage can always pull away further and further. That's the thing about it. You can't force somebody to get closer to you. You just can't. And pretty much every person I know makes these fatal mistakes at the beginning of the separation when somebody needs space. And it forces really the separation. Every day I watch and listen to people who are trying desperately to chase after somebody and pull them back in. And when I talk about the fact that begging and cajoling and pleading and rationalizing and all those other things that happen will not work, it's because of this. The other person has the advantage. If I want less of our relationship than you do, I can always pull further away. You're trying to pull me back, and I get the advantage of pulling further away. It's the basic plan. The logistics of trying to negotiate the space that makes it so difficult, so painful. So as that cycle emerges, it begins to cycle round and round and round. The space begins to grow further and further away. So at first they say, hey, I'm not happy, which elicits the pursuer process, and the distancer steps one further, you know, step back and says, you know what? I need a little bit of space. At that point, they usually just mean emotional space, but the pursuer in the pain and the fear chases harder and faster. And the distancer runs harder and faster and says, you know what? Maybe let's do an in-house separation. I'm going to sleep in a separate bedroom, you know, sometimes, I don't know, to call it an in-house separation, maybe sleep on the couch. I'm going to sleep in a separate bedroom and I'm going to get my own meals. I'm going to take care of my own stuff. When that doesn't work because the pursuer is caught up in the cycle, then the distancer says, you know what? I'm going to get my own apartment, my own house, my own whatever. I am out of here. I need a separation, a physical one now. And when that doesn't work, when they can't resolve it through their distance, you know, I don't want this anymore is what happens. I'm going to make a permanent end to our relationship, a divorce. All because that process began to gain momentum and spin out of control until both people are desperately trying to find their end of this. Desperation fuels the chase and the distancing, which is why it's so important to make sure that you don't get stuck in that cycle. This is the importance of having a plan, a roadmap, and having a perspective. So the plan is something you have that will guide your actions as you're trying to save your relationship. A plan can help you understand how you're going to move forward in ways of clarity in moments of fear. That's what a plan does for any of us. Let's say that your family creates a plan on what to do in case of a fire. Now, the reason you're doing that is because when there's a fire, it's a little hard to think clearly in the moment of that crisis. So ahead of time, you think through what you're going to do, and then you let that guide you when the crisis comes. It's the same with your plan to save the marriage. The plan is to tell you what actions you're going to take and how you're going to do it so that you can make sure you're not getting pulled off and you're not entering this cycle and that you really do have perspective. And when I talk about perspective in this manner, I want you to have a perspective from your spouse's side of realizing that the faster you chase, the faster your spouse runs because of their fear. Have a perspective on the fear that's going on within your spouse and the desperation that's going on within your spouse that creates a problem if you don't attend to that. Having this sort of perspective is having empathy for the fact that the other person is trying to figure their way through this, through the fear and almost an equal fear of you. As much as you're feeling the fear of losing that connection, they're feeling the fear of losing themselves in the connection. It's two of the fears that I talk about in our Fortified Spouse program, the fear of intimacy and the fear of abandonment, that unfortunately they fight against each other in this process. So you want to make sure that you have a plan on how you're going to work through this and that you have a perspective of what's going on so you do not enter this dance, this cycle of the chaser and the distancer. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And four, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation, or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.